Hachette Audio presents Blackwood, written by Michael Ferris Smith, read by Mike McCall. For Ellen. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. 1956. Colburn was standing with his mother in the kitchen when she said, "Go fetch your father." The long light of an August day bleeding through the windows, his face and hands dirty from playing football in the neighbor's yard. His mother wiped the sweat from his face with a dish towel, held his chin in her hand, and gazed at him. "You'll be 12 soon. I can't believe it." He asked where his father was, and she set out back in the workshop. "Go tell him it's time for supper." The boy noticed the empty bottle on the counter, beneath the high cabinet where his father kept his whiskey, and he picked up the bottle and unscrewed the cap and sniffed, and it burned through his nose, and his mother laughed when he winced, and then told him that should teach you all you need to know about that stuff. Don't ever bother with it. Not now, not ever. And then the smile left her face, and her eyes drifted out of the kitchen window and into the backyard. Her eyes drifted toward the workshop, where his father hid most days when he came home from work. Sometimes the buzz of a saw or pounding of a hammer, but mostly silence from the workshop. Her eyes drifted, and an emptiness came across her face. She lowered her eyes, turned on the faucet and washed her hands, closed her eyes and touched her wet fingertips to her eyelids and held them there, drops of water running down her wrists and from her cheeks, and so silent as she paused with her fingers against her eyelids, as if commanding time and space to wait for her. Only wait for her for a moment, until she was ready again. Colburn knew to leave her alone when she was like this, and he backed out of the kitchen and walked across the backyard. He called for his dad before he got there. "It's time to eat." Mama said, "Come on." Sometimes he liked going into the workshop. When the radio was playing and his father was sweating in the middle of some time-killing project, and his father would let him drive a nail or wipe a paintbrush. And there was a calm in his father then that he recognized at no other time. Random specks of light against the darkness he carried. And because of this darkness, he did not like going into the workshop when there was no sound. Because that was when he would find his father sitting in a folding chair, hunched over with his elbows resting on his knees, and a bottle hanging from his hand and blood-red eyes, and the voice of some other man saying to him,
"Sample complete. Ready to continue?"